Spirit his name. Amen.
I think what Jess... Oh, hello. I think what Jess also failed to say is if you're old and you want to go and colour in, please feel free to. I'm kind of tempted. Char, can you turn down a bit, please? Because I can hear my own voice. Happy Easter! My name's Jen, and I have the pleasure of talking to you this morning. So what I love about Easter services and Christmas services is you tend to get away with a lot more in church. Like, when else do you ever go into church and someone takes Where's Wally and turns it into Finding Jesus? But you get away with it because it's Easter, so that's good. Okay. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you're meeting a new group of people and you have to do an icebreaker called Two Truths and a Lie. Has anyone ever done that? Okay, so for those of you who don't know, the concept is you tell somebody three things about yourself, two of which are true, one of which is a lie, and everybody has to work out which one's the lie, okay? So that's how we're going to kick off this morning. And being Easter Sunday, yeah, you know it. Cadbury's cream eggs can come your way. I've actually got four. I ate one earlier. I might actually give away three and save one for later as well. Okay, so here's three things about my life, and you need to work out which one's the lie, okay? So first one. As a child, I attempted to shave my arms. Number one. Number two. As a child, I once walked into a lamppost because I was talking too much. Why are you laughing? Okay, third thing. As a child, I inhaled a strawberry shoelace, one of these, and pulled it out of my mouth. Okay. Three things. Hands up. Who thinks they know what the lie is? Look at that. Everyone's just like, Jean, you're so mad you've done them all. Catherine. Shaving my arms is the wrong answer. When I was a kid, I saw my dad shave, and I thought that'd be really cool, but I've not got hair like my dad. But so I put shaving cream on my arms and pretended to shave my arms. Anyway, no, that's not the lie. So, Sat? The lace. So inhaling shoelace, strawberry, up my nose and pulling it out of my mouth. That, in fact, is true. Honestly, it's like my best party trick that I've not ever been able to do since. Really wish that I could because it's a sign of a good youth worker. Anyone want to guess what the lie is? Yeah, go for it, Ethan. Yeah, walking once into a lamppost. Come get your egg. That is, in fact, a lie because when I was a kid, I walked into a lamppost several times because I was talking, not just the once. So there you go. You found out... And I've done it really recently as well. Oh, dear. I need to stop talking. Okay. So we're going to look this morning at two truths and one lie about Easter, okay? sorry. So the first truth is, Jesus really died and we're forgiven. Now, you might be thinking, okay, it's Easter Sunday, Jen. We've got past that bit. We know that Jesus died, but we're now on the resurrection bit. But let me just recap. Like all good kind of stories or box sets, kind of, if you've seen 24, you get that previously on 24. Darren, I should have got you to do that with an American accent. Go on, give us a go. Previously. Oh, yeah, you know it. How good does that sound? Sounds so much better than a Cockney girl doing it. So we're going to do previously at Easter, okay? So Sat's going to come and read to us. There's loads of different accounts of Jesus' death and his resurrection. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 to 12. And Sat's going to come and read it to us.
That was a good accent. Do I need to use that? That's Luke 24. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Okay, so the first truth about Easter is Jesus really died. So from the passage that Sat just read, we see that very early in the morning, the women woke up and they go to the tomb. Now, what you need to remember is before this Sunday, Friday happened. So the last time the women would have seen Jesus, he would have been properly dead. Okay, so he would have been trialed, he would have been beaten, he would have been nailed to a cross. Darkness covered the whole land. And Jesus cried out from the cross this. He says, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit." He was very, very dead. And then the bit between the cross and the resurrection is this guy called Joseph. And the Bible says that he's a good and a noble man. He goes up to Pilate and he says, "Can I have Jesus' body? I want to give him a little burial." And so Pilate gives Joseph permission to take Jesus' body. And because the Sabbath was coming, he couldn't do a full-on funeral like they did back in the day. But he places him in a tomb. Now, there's two things about that. Pilate wouldn't have given Jesus' body unless Jesus was really dead. Secondly, it was a new tomb. It says in Luke a little bit earlier on that Jesus was placed in. Sometimes you hear conspiracy theories that it was an old tomb that had a back door, so somehow someone went in to steal the body. Jesus was really, really dead. Because you know what? You don't go and bury living people, do you? No. No, Jim, we don't. We don't. And so what about it? People live and people die all the time. That's what makes the world go round. And yet we find out through the Bible that this has got serious significance for us. Jesus died so we could be forgiven. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't do stupid things in your life in the way that I do. I mean, like, I do stupid things, as you'll know from the start. But beyond that, I do stuff. Like, I make mistakes, I do stuff that offends God. And the Bible speaks about our thoughts and our actions, stuff that we do, stuff that we don't do that we should do. And that offends God. That creates a separation between us and between him. And the Bible says there's consequences for that. That those mistakes, that sin, as the Bible calls it, can't go unpunished. It offends God. And the consequences are death and judgment. But do you know what? The amazing truth about Easter is God didn't leave it there. In an act of amazing, amazing kindness, Jesus comes to the earth with one mission, and that's to die. Imagine if that was your mission, that you knew your one mission was to die, because that was what Jesus's was. He knew all along that he was going to go to the cross. And at the cross, he was going to take the anger of God that we deserve, the punishment of God that we deserve, that is ours, and yet Jesus took that. So that separation between us and God could be blown away, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be healed, so that we could be free. One cross, three nails, we're forgiven. And that's the amazing thing about Good Friday, the amazing truth about Easter. See, and notice at no point when you read through the Easter story does it say Jesus waited for the whole world to be sorted. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says while we were messed up, while we were sinners, Jesus came and he died. He didn't wait for us to understand it. He didn't wait for us to get it. He didn't wait for us to ask for it. God, in an act of love, says, I see the mess that you're in and I want to sort it out and I want to make it right. Truth number one of Easter, Jesus really died so that we could be forgiven. Okay, truth number two. So you roll on to Easter Sunday and the women rock up to the tomb. So they're going to give Jesus a proper burial now. So they've taken all their spices with them and they go to the tomb. And what's a bit crazy about this is that Jesus has said time and time again throughout his whole life, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die and then 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to raise myself from the dead. And yet they go to like have a funeral for Jesus, despite him saying, I'm going to come back from the dead. The story that Sat just read to us is full of people getting the wrong end of the stick. Full of misunderstanding. You get Mary, she rocks up to the tomb and she don't understand when the body's been stolen. You get the disciples, they're confused when the women go and tell them what's happened. You get Peter, he goes legging it to the tomb, gets in there, sees that Jesus' grave clothes are just laying there, and he's like wondering what's going on. People are not understanding, despite Jesus saying, this is what I'm going to do. See, there weren't a welcome party. There weren't people there ready to say, hey, he's up from the grave. No one was there because he was dead. They didn't expect it. Kind of blew their minds. And then what happens in the midst of the confusion in verse 5? The angels say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You don't rock up to a graveyard to see the person that you've buried back to life, do you? Kind of like you don't go looking for an Arsenal fan in a room full of Tottenham fans. You don't go looking for a meat eater amongst a room full of vegetarians. And yet these women have gone to look for a dead person in a graveyard, and actually Jesus was alive. They were in the wrong place. In the wrong place. And the thing is, why did Jesus have to rise? Why did he have to? When the angel said, he's not here, he is risen. Why was that? See, if Jesus didn't rise, then his whole life becomes a little bit of a shambles. It makes him a little bit cuckoo, maybe a little bit of a hippie, walking through life doing good things, saying what he's going to do, I'm going to rise from the dead. If he didn't, just be a little bit Fruit Loop. And yet he did. And yet he did. And because he rose, what does that mean for us? It means that when we face death, like Char was saying, we have the promise of joy and we have the hope that death is not the end. It says later on in the Bible in a book called 2 Corinthians that if we place our trust in Jesus, we know that because God has raised Jesus from the dead, we will also rise with him. The resurrection means that death isn't the end. It seems like the end, but it's not the end. Because Jesus beat death, this is what it means for us. This is one of my favourite bits in the Bible. And it says this, that we can be sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else, nothing in the whole of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the promise of life and living forever, eternity with God, the separation gone because Jesus died and came back to life. If Jesus is risen, we're not going to die and stay in the ground. There is hope and there is future for us. So truth number two, Jesus rose from the dead and we can live forever with him. Okay, so what's the lie this Easter, okay? I would say the lie this Easter is to sit here and to say, it doesn't matter to me. That story is so far removed from my life, so far removed from anything that I understand, that actually it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know if you've ever been on a plane. Anyone ever been on an aeroplane? Oh, a couple of people. Okay, when you go on a plane, you have the pleasure of sitting through 5 or 10 minutes of safety instructions. Now, when I first started to fly, I thought, I'm not going to take no notice of that because, let's face it, if your plane's going to crash, you're going to get off that plane, right? Well, I would anyway. I don't know, you might sit there in your seat, but I'll be finding an exit and I'll be getting out. So I never used to pay attention. I used to put in my ears and just listen to my music. And then one time, when we was flying to honeymoon, we had really bad turbulence, and the plane done that thing, which if you've had the pleasure of, it's so much fun, and it just kind of drops in the sky a little bit, and you think, I'm going to meet my maker right now. Ever since that point, I'm so safety conscious when I'm on an aeroplane. So I sit down and they start their thing, and before they can even stand up, the cabin crew, and tell you what, I reach under my seat to make sure my life jacket's under there. Because let me tell you, they tell you that it's there, but you don't actually know it's there until you check. So my advice would be, when you sit down, just make sure it's there, because if it ain't, you need to bing the steward and say, can you sort it out, please? And then I listen really intently to the same old speech. I know kind of what's happening. If the plane crashes, get off. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it? And then I do this thing where I count the seats from where I'm sitting to my nearest exit. And then I turn to Paul and I go, that's our nearest exit. And he's like, all right. And then after I've checked mine, I check to make sure that he's got a life jacket as well, because I'm a good wife like that. And I say, Paul, you've got a life jacket under your seat. And he's like, thanks, Jen. The fact is, I don't ever want there to be a point where the plane crashes and I'm not familiar with the safety features, because then it's too late to get out your little coloured card from the seat in front and say, oh, where am I meant to go and what am I meant to do? See, the guarantee of life, the circle of life, is that we're going to die. Like, I don't want to be all depressing and that. But it's coming to us all, isn't it? We don't know the time, we don't know the day. My geography teacher actually said to us when we was choosing what careers we wanted to go into, he said, if you ever want a career that will never go down in a recession, be an undertaker, because it's a job that will never go out of business. And I don't think anyone took his advice, but, you know, kids, if you're thinking about what to do, be an undertaker. So one thing guaranteed, we are going to die. And the Bible says there is a fixed day, it says this in Acts, that God will judge the world perfectly by one man. And it's time for us to decide, are we going to read the safety features and pay attention now? Or are we going to wait till that day when it's too late? Too late to do anything about it. See, the truth of Easter is God loved us. That Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. And that he rose from the dead so that death wouldn't be the end. That is the beauty of Easter. That we can find hope, true joy, forgiveness, healing, if we choose to follow Jesus. Like Charles said, there was a moment in his life where he said, Jesus, I'm putting you before myself and I'm going to follow you. And the Bible says that if we do that, and if we say with our words that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart these truths of Easter, that we'll be saved. So I guess that's my question to you guys this morning. Are you going to believe the two truths of Easter, that Jesus died and he rose again, or are you going to believe the lie that it doesn't matter? Let's pray. So the whole point of the two truths and a lie is to get to know someone a bit better. And maybe the truths that I've spoken about this morning, you already know to be true for your life. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to be reminded on Easter Sunday of those things. But maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, oh man, there's something in this. There's something in this. There's something in those truths. The fact that Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. The fact that he rose again so death doesn't have to be the end for me. That nothing can separate me from God's love. And I wonder, what you're going to do about that this morning? The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And he says, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we can be friends. God, thank you that in your perfect love, you chose to rescue us from the mess that we often find ourselves in. That Jesus, you came with one mission, and that was to die. And that the one cross and the three nails mean that we're forgiven. And that that wasn't the end. You weren't just an ordinary person who lived and died, but you smashed death to pieces. You rose from the dead. You baffled everyone by doing it. And that means we've got a hope and we've got a future. And God, for those of us who really don't know that to be the truth, I pray that you'd be speaking to us now, that you'd be drawing us to yourself. I pray that this Easter we wouldn't believe the lie that it doesn't matter to us, but we would believe the truth that this is for us. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to stand and we're going to worship with our singing voices. If you know that truth to be true, then there's something to celebrate this morning, right? And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't really know if this is true for me. I would like to find out more. There's going to be a couple of people just standing at the back as we stand and sing. You'll recognise them because they'll look like they're waiting for a bus, but there won't be a bus coming along. And they'll love to chat with you or pray with you. Maybe as I was speaking or something else during a service, it got you thinking and you're like, man, I'd really like to pray about that. Or maybe like Char, you're thinking, man, I'm so scared of death, so scared. You know, we want to pray with you. We want to bless you this morning. So as we're singing, nobody's going to be looking because everyone's going to be looking at the words. Please feel free to go and speak or pray with someone at the back. Or at the end of the service, grab one of us and we'll happily have a chat over a hot cross bun. Thank you very much.